19 to 11, and Steve Salisbury is in the studio with me to talk some US. What do you think anything will ever be named after you? Like, will there be a Salisbury Hill or a Salisbury Stand or Pavilion? Or do you ever see a time when someone might name something after you?
I don't think anybody's bright enough to do that, is what I think it is. I don't think they see the true value.
Hello, Steve. How
it's good to see you, bud. Yeah.
Tom Brady. Now, I want to talk about him first up. Well, you've got other things you want to talk about. But first up, he's one of the big stories.
Tom Brady now, more wins as a quarterback than any player.
The winningest quarterback.
Yeah, that's a great word, winningest, isn't it?
Is he the best?
I was a Joe Montana guy, as were you.
Me too.
But it's very difficult to argue against either one of those two. I mean, Brady, I guess the if you compare those two, and then you can look at John Elway, who is amazing. John Elway, I think, had the greatest tools, like physical gifts for the position.
Yep.
You know, Bill Walsh, who I would rate is probably, if not the greatest quarterback coach of all time, but certainly amongst the top three. He said that the greatest talent ever was John Elway, but interestingly, as great as he was, he didn't win a Super Bowl until he had the complement of a running game and a good defense. So that should go to show you how dependent a quarterback is on the other people. And so when I say that, I look at like Montana. Montana had Hall of Famers all around him. He had Hall of Famers at wide receiver. He had
Jerry Rice.
He had Roger Craig in the backfield. He had some amazing.
His tight end too was good.
He had Brent Jones. He had John Frank before that. He had Charlie Young. So he had the greatest wide. I mean, not just the greatest wide receiver of all time, but the greatest football player ever. Many people have said Jerry Rice was the greatest football player ever because he's the only player at any position where there's no debate about who the best was. So you could say best quarterback of all time. You can get people going Marino, which I don't believe. You could get people saying Montana. You get people saying Brady. You could say that about running back. Like I go, it's Barry Sanders, but you'll have people saying, it's
Emmett
Jim
Smith.
Brown or Emmett Smith. Emmett Smith was a benefactor of a great offensive line in front of him. But the great thing about Brady is if you take a look at the players he's had around him, he hasn't had any. I mean, outside of Rob Gronkowski, who he's only had the last few years. He doesn't have any more the rest of this year. He's a Hall of Famer. And then he had Randy Moss for about 25 minutes back in 2007 and 8. He's had really just random guys around him. And he's elevated all of their games to a point where they've been Super Bowl winners. So, if the football gods were to say, okay, we're going to tell you who the greatest of all time is, and they said it was Brady, I wouldn't have a problem with
Wasn't
that.
Wasn't he a really, a late draft pick too?
Yeah, he was chosen in the sixth round, I think, actually. Or he was either sixth round.
And
I think it was sixth round in 2000. And then there was an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary.
My favorite documentary.
Yeah, they're really good, aren't they? There was a 30 for 30 documentary called The Brady Six. There were six guys chosen before Tom Brady in the 2000 draft. Interestingly, the 49ers chose a guy from Sacramento named Gio Carmazzi, who went to a rival high school, Jesuit High School. And he went to school at Hofstra, which is a small school in New York. And the 49ers chose Gio Carmazzi, who is now, like, he's herding goats someplace. That's literally what he's doing.
You're making that up.
No, I swear to God, Google it. Gio Carmazzi. But it just goes to show, I mean, everybody goes, look at, you know, Belichick is so brilliant, and he certainly is with what he's been able to achieve as a head coach. But had anybody known that Tom Brady was going to turn out to be Tom Brady, he would have been chosen the first pick of that draft. I mean, you could say the first pick of the last 20 drafts, you'd probably go, I'll go Tom Brady first. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to pick someone other than that. Talent-wise, he's phenomenal, and he's just been able – I mean, the fact that he's won 201 games as a starting quarterback is a testament to just him as an athlete. I mean, he's
and Belichick, too.
And Belichick, yeah. I was going to say it's to the system. So Belichick's just been able to put the right people around him. They just find a way to win.
Yep.
And, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I said, they're going to win the Super Bowl. It'd be hard to bet against him. And I'd like to see him win five. I really would, because no quarterback has ever won five Super Bowls. Bradshaw and Montana and Brady have each won four. So if he were to do that, that'd be something really great. It's interesting. He's so damn good that people can't stand him. Like, what's the AFL equivalent of him? Like, who do people hate? Buddy Franklin? I mean, there's not a single...
It was Nathan Buckley when Nathan Buckley was running around for Collingwood, because it was the combination of Collingwood and Nathan was the perfect everybody.
Did people say that Nathan Buckley was the greatest player in the game? I mean, I've heard Wayne Carey. I've heard people.
He wasn't hated by opposition, though.
Wayne Carey wasn't?
Not really. Not the way Bucks was.
So he was hated by the, really?
Oh, yeah, because Bucks had that whole, and he'll probably hate me saying this, he had the whole fig jam thing going on as well, that, you know, I'm great, just ask me type.
Oh, really? So there was nickname. A bit of arrogance
so
there, was there?
There was that, all that, and because he left Brisbane and came to thing, and yeah.
They didn't win, though, for years.
Yeah, yeah, I know that. But
so, the, I mean, you kind of.
I reckon he's the equivalent of where
yeah,
Brady
sits. Yeah. So people just can't, I mean, people hate the Patriots. And,
but they also
and
hate Brady because he's got like the great looking girlfriend and wife and all that sort of stuff too.
I think they're one and the same as girlfriend. I don't think he's out.
It's Giselle, isn't it?
Yeah, Giselle Bündchen. I don't think he's out.
No, playing I wasn't
up.
Suggesting. I wasn't sure if they're married
thinking,
or not.
With Giselle Bündchen.
Are they married?
Yeah, they're married. Yeah, okay. Two kids. He's got three. So he was. I don't really get into this type of stuff.
But
he has three kids. I think he's got two sons and a daughter. And he's got a daughter and a son with Bündchen. And then he was had a deal, Kev,
right,
with Bridget Moynihan. You know who she is? Very, very, she's an actress.
She's on Blue Blood.
Is Bridget Moynihan on Blue Blood?
With Tom Selleck, I think.
I don't know. She may be.
I
don't
think she is.
I don't watch a lot of TV.
She plays Tom Selleck's daughter.
Well, does she really? Because she'd be close to 40 now.
Well, Tom Selleck's 70.
Yeah, it's Tom Selleck is, huh? He still has a mustache, too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Wow.
He's very good in this
anyway,
show.
And it's
like
not even
show.
November. But so anyway, Brady, yeah, Brady's amazing. I just think that we're getting to, if you want to see, as good as Brady is, the most impressive outfit this year is the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
And I was late on that boat, and not in the sense that I didn't think they were a good team. I never said they weren't a good team.
Is that because of Romo?
I just felt they should have Romo back there instead of Dak Prescott. But yep. When the team is 11-1, they've won 11 straight games, and their most recent win is the most impressive one to me of the whole season. Well, the Pittsburgh one was really impressive, but this win on Thursday night where they went in to play Minnesota, I mean, it's one of those games where it's like middle of the week. So the NFL teams hate Thursday night football. They hate it.
Yep.
Because it's a short week. You got to travel. They make you wear those ridiculous uniforms because of the color rush theme that the NFL has going. And so these guys have to go and play. And so Dallas, think about this. They've won 10 straight, and they got to fly up to Minnesota. So they've got a short week of practice. They get there. They're kind of flat. They don't look good. They don't play very well, yet they still find a way to win. And that, to me, is the signature of a really good team. Regardless of how they play, they still have a way of getting it done. And then I would look the other team that's been there's a couple other teams that have been really impressive. The Oakland Raiders have been, I mean, they're 10-2 now. And they did it yet again. They beat a good team yesterday, Buffalo. They were down 24-9, yet offensively they just exploded and won and scored the last, I guess it'd be the last 29 points because they won the game 38-24. And they're a team that I think is fantastic. And then the other one you have to look at is Kansas City. Kansas City. Their defense. They're quietly going through. People say, oh, with their quarterback, they're not a team to be reckoned with, you know, because Alex Smith is not as explosive as Derek Carr or Tom Brady or those guys. But I'll tell you what, Chiefs are another team you got to look at.
Yeah. Steve is here for Eco Garage Doors. Grant is on the line from Lakes Entrance. Hello, Grant.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Hi, Grant.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Steve, what I want to talk about is obviously, I back for a club that we go under the radar each year, which is Toronto Raptors in the NBA.
Yeah.
Having a good look at this year, this is what I wanted to ask you, is having a look at our points in the last four or five games, scoring well over the 110-115 mark, but a great spread there with the six players now, not just relying on, obviously, Lowry and DeRozan. Having Carroll, Joseph, Norman Powell, Terrence Ross, these sort of players hitting off the bench. Is that going to give us that chance of those last 2 years, even finished second in the conference, we've still never been talking about going to the next step. Do you think with that bench hitting those points that that's going to give us that extra chance
I think,
the big dance?
I think if you... No, I don't. And the only reason is not because they haven't made strides to improve their team, because they clearly have. I think they're sitting at around 14-6 now, the Raptors, and they do have some really good players, but I just don't see how anybody beats LeBron James in the East. I mean, I know everybody gives me grief about this. Oh, you know, you're in love with LeBron James. LeBron James must
have a bad thing.
I guess you could do worse, couldn't you? LeBron James is so good that he could go into any team in the East and turn them into a playoff team. So when you combine the guys that he has on his roster, I think during the season, like right now, Toronto has a better record, I think, than the I should probably check on that, than the Cavaliers do. But just watch. No, sorry, the Cavs are slightly better. You just watch as the season goes on. The Cavaliers, the thing that the Cavaliers will understand and other playoff teams will understand, the Warriors, I think, have learned their lesson, San Antonio, is that you most of the players in the league don't even think the season begins until after Christmas.
Yeah.
So after Christmas, you start to see teams play a little bit better. Some offenses, some teams will still kind of keep a vanilla offense. They still won't throw everything out there because what they're doing is they want to stay healthy enough and monitor guys' minutes so that they're not playing too much, because that's what happened to the Warriors last year, as they tried to win 73 games or whatever it was that they won, and no one even thinks about it anymore because they didn't win the title. Mm. So had they finished at 68, if Boga doesn't go down, I think it could have very well been a different series because of that interior presence. But teams are going to sit there and they're going to play for the playoffs. So you're going to start to see teams play better and better as we get into January, February, March, and into April. That's when teams want to be peaking, so that they're playing their best basketball in May and in June. So the Cavaliers are going to do that. And until anybody knocks them off, I just don't see anyone doing it. I think the Cavaliers are going to win it again. And I think they're going to win it because of the fact that nobody can compete with LeBron James. You got to have somebody down low, and they don't.
Grant, the short answer to your question is no, he doesn't think you can win. But you've got but you have one, because you've got the $100 voucher from creatorwall.net.au. You can create a wall there for your office, your boardroom, or you might have a man cave there in Lakes Entrance that you want to create a wall for. Enjoy that, Grant.
That is right. So I was going to say one thing. I know we only got a couple minutes. If your team sucks, like your team's really, really bad, and it doesn't matter the sport, it could be the roster, but it's more than likely the head, right? As Tim Watson used to always say, the fish rots from the head. I don't know that it does rot from the head. I don't know if anyone's actually checked that. But it makes sense, because you look at the San Francisco Giants today signed a reliever, a closer named Mark Melancon, and they needed – that was the biggest problem that team had last year. And what's the first thing they do – when the hot stove league begins, which is kind of the term they use for the offseason free agency, they go and they sign this closer who's really, really good. And there's certain teams that are in it to win it. The Giants are in it to win it. The Cubs, obviously, they have done it. There's a lot of teams that are. And you look across the landscape of sport, the teams that are in the NFL right now that are playing well, they all have good ownership. You know, and the teams that suck, the 49ers, the Jaguars, right, the Cleveland Browns, continue to make dumb decisions. If you know people in your life who continue to make dumb decisions time after time after time after time, it's because they're just not very smart.
Yep.
And that's what's happening with the Niners. The people that run the Niners and run the Browns, run the Jags, probably even run the Bears, aren't that sharp.
Is it harder to change in American sport because it's ownership and not like ours is, which is boardroom run clubs, whereas in American sport, it's I'm the owner. I own the joint, so I'm going to say what goes on.
It's very difficult, because there have been some owners who have figured things out, like Jerry Jones. I kind of think he finally figured it out. Jerry Jones had insisted on being the general manager, and he didn't have the football acumen. I mean, he's got more football acumen, and he's a brilliant businessman, clearly. But I mean, when you succeed at such a high level, you think you can do anything. Like, I think I can do most things, right? Maybe I can, maybe I can't, but I believe I can.
You can. That's only how go these for guys 25 are. Seconds.
That's right. So my point is that if you have an owner who figures it out, you have a chance. But if you have an owner like Jed York who has no idea, you're screwed.